This week on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, the most outrageous, chaotic, and sometimes downright freaking stupid band breakups of all time. You asked, we listened. Here you go. You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. And we have a super fun, awesome podcast for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking about band breakups, and we all have our favorite stories. And our favorite, a lot of these breakups are, a lot of them are kind of shrouded. We don't really know, right? There's a couple that have two stories,
and there's a couple that are just stupid, and you just want to shake some of them and go, what the hell's wrong with you?
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Right. So we're going to be talking about all that. It's going to be a lot of fun. You are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We are changing rock history one podcast at a time. I started with my theme music before I got to spit out my whole, thang there. So you can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website. Check back often for more cool podcasts. If you are listening live or listening on, not live, if you're listening on Rock Rage Radio, the Rock Rage Radio app or RockRageRadio.com on Sunday afternoon, join us live. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, get all the info and find us live. You can check us out on Facebook. We go live on Tuesday nights on Rock Rage Radio. Sometimes the time fluctuates a little wee bit, but it is around the 9 o'clock hour that we usually get started here. Although we might be making some changes in the future, depending on how a few things going on, but we'll talk about that later. So it's a lot of fun because the audience chimes in. We goof on each other. We have a good time. We will be having Keith the Hawk Hawkins back in a regular way here very soon. He assures me that he is coming back to stay, at least for a while. So we're really excited about that, but he's got something. He already had a prior commitment this evening, so he's not going to be here. So
check the live feed.
So check the live feed. Is the live feed bad?
It's stopped, I think.
Okay. Let's go back and check the live feed. Oh. Okay, so we're going to do it again. Wow. Okay, while we're setting this up, I'm going to restart the live feed on Rock Rage Radio. But in the meantime, let's rock out to a tune. We're going to have a really good time tonight. This is Lou Lombardi's Strange Love the Killing on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circuit. We'll be right back. Lombardi's Strange Love. And I need to, I keep forgetting to change that setting. It's Lou Lombardi's Strange Love. You can find out more at loulombardimusic.com. That's part of a compilation album I put out earlier last year called The Bad Years that has a lot of fun stuff, current stuff, older stuff of mine, stuff in between. So it's a fun little thing, and you can get that for album for free with some cool artwork and stuff. You go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle. Plus, you also get to access to our Inner Circle group, which sometimes we party in after the podcast. So we have a, you know, it's all about the good times, isn't it, Lily?
Every day.
Every day, every day. Have a good time all the time. That's my motto. So, before we get into our topic tonight, bad band breakups, and you guys chime in if you got some that you want us to kind of talk about, you have some kind of interesting, crazy facts. If you've been part of a bad band breakup, throw us, you know, a comment here and we're running up the flagpole, see if anybody salutes it.
I have not been in a band breakup.
Yeah, not been in a bad band
breakup. We do have Chris Thunderwolf on with Wolf Customs and Dylan Matthews from Florida, and we have Bands and Breakfast from Switzerland.
I hear you got Switzerland. Is that the chocolate place?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good on the chocolate, guys, over there in Switzerland. Anyways, so Lily, before we get into our topic, did you get to go to see Storm Dragon or did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did go.
We were supposed to have a snow apocalypse.
Which didn't happen until
and
Sunday.
So I was like hunkered down. Like I had already planned. I started drinking or like in the afternoon because I'm like, fuck it. So I'm trying not to do that.
Screw
because
it.
Because I said, screw it. And I'm like looking out the window and like, where's this freaking snow? So, and my phone's going off. Don't forget Storm Dragon. I'm like, crap. So that didn't work out. So tell us about the Storm Dragon show.
Well, first of all, have you ever been to the President's Pub in Washington?
Yes, I have.
I have never been there till the other day. And I'm gonna tell you what, that place is beautiful.
It's a cool place.
I was so surprised when I got there. I'm like, what?
It used to be Ernie's Freestyle.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's a little, if you're from the Washington County, Pennsylvania area, it might be of interest to you. But
never went there either.
Yeah, we have a worldwide audience, so let's not bore them with that.
Right. Anyway. I got to see Storm Dragon also with Divine Tragedy, who blew me away. They gave me 2 CDs so we can use their music soon as I remember to bring that down here. And
awesome.
Last Will and then Storm Dragon, of course, headlined. They were amazing as usual. They always have great stage presence. Blew me away. Love the venue, even though they're in a little windowsill kind of area to play. But it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
I am sorry that I missed it, but I will, guys, keep me in the loop. Jack is a customer of mine at my auto repair place. So, Jack, I apologize, but I definitely want to come and check you guys out soon. And does Storm Dragon have a record?
I want to say yes.
Because if
I don't think they
do,
have an actual physical.
Well, you know, we'll play. You know, you can send me the MP3s as long as they sound pro. Happy to do it.
I know I've played them on my show, and what they've given me is beautiful. So I might have to just email you.
Send it to me. I want to promote them.
And they're going to be at the Quiet Riot show on February 1st, and they're opening for Winger coming up.
Well, wait a minute. Who's in Winger?
Kip and Red Beach.
Oh, it's just those two guys?
Well, I don't think anyone else is original, but I mean, screw it.
Well, I mean, basically, it was the primary members of that band are Kip Winger on bass and vocals, Red Beach, and Rod Morgenstern.
I think that's how you say
it's
that.
It's Rhoda Morgenstern.
No, it's not Rhoda.
It's Rob Morgenstern, but Rhoda Morgenstern, right? Anyways, so it's the key players.
Yeah, it's who's important.
Is this a Jurgles show?
Yeah, okay. Both of them, Winger and Quiet Riot.
There's a cool venue here in the Pittsburgh area, and if those of you that ever end up visiting this area, or if you're a band and you're looking for gigs, looking for a place to showcase, you should just email me or Lily, and we'll talk to you guys about that. Depending on what you're looking to do, there's a lot of cool places. But the place you're talking about, he mentioned many times, is a place called Jurgles, which is a larger-ish kind of club where they get these acts that are maybe like heritage, what we call heritage-type acts.
Yeah.
And, it's just like really perfect for that. And there's a lot of places to kind of go that they've got a nice upstairs, they've got a nice downstairs.
Got a cigar bar,
really
patio.
Nice downstairs.
They have a cigar bar for those.
A full menu for food and whatnot. So,
nice place.
Yeah. So you might want to talk to some people around here about that if you guys are a band. So Storm Dragon was good. They were not at Jurgles, they were at the President's. Did you do anything else? See anything else? Or
You know what I did Sunday? Slept. That's what I did. That's about it. That's all I did Sunday.
A big hangover?
And no, but then Monday I had to chip my car from the ice before I went to work. That was great.
Yeah, we had some ice, or as they say in Pittsburgh, ice and at.
Is that what they say?
We had ice and at.
Divine Tragedies this Friday. I'm going to try to go out to that at the Craft House, so we'll see. Justin Walker's the drummer for that now, from Silk 9, formerly from Silk 9.
He's not in Silk 9 anymore?
No, Silk 9 has a different lineup now.
I'm looking for a drummer.
You're looking for a drummer? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so hit me up if you're a drummer. We need a drummer. We practice in the Greenfield area on Sunday afternoons. So Jared and I are ready to take it to the next level. So
kick some butt.
Let's, we're going to talk about the band, these breakups here, but I want to... There's been a couple of things that I got to get off my chest here.
Uh-oh.
Van Halen, which we're going to be speaking of breakups. We're going to be talking about that.
That's a confused band.
Those guys, I mean, they're more confused than Caitlyn Jenner. So thanks, I'll be here all week. But they have not announced anything. Nothing has been announced. Yes, there's some DJ in Chicago saying that somebody told him something, and some guy called into the Eddie Trunk show and says somebody, some friend of his that works for Live Nation, told him there's going to... We know nothing.
Until they formally announce it, don't worry about
it. Yeah, we don't know anything, okay? But the reason I'm bringing this up is... I mean, the reason I'm bringing this up is this. And this is just how my goofy mind works. I'm kind of conspiratorial. And this is something I might do if I was Van Halen, which I'm not Van Halen. And what I might do to see how much interest there was, I might start planting stories around the internet that I might tour. To kind of see, because there's a couple of balls in the air here, because it's not just, Van Halen, my tour. It's the original lineup with Michael Anthony. And so I'm kind of wondering if they're throwing this out there to see if they want to go through the whole pain.
Of dealing with each other.
And each other and making up with Mike. Because Mike, is a disgruntled former member of the band. He's not like, there wasn't a real kind of happy parting of ways there. So I kind of wonder if maybe they're kind of like putting this out there, peppering people, getting people maybe kind of psyched up about it, and B, kind of sending out some feelers, like, how important is it that we bring in Mike to people? And I think that is like, he's a freaking bass player. And a lot of times people go, well, it's just the bass player, but not in Van Halen. He's not. First of all, he's good. He's a big part of the vocal sound of the band. It's a big, huge part of it. I think that, you know, a few years of Wolfgang in there had made people realize what a great musician Michael Anthony really is. Are you a Michael Anthony fan?
Bass player.
You don't care.
I don't.
Wow. Wow, bass
and
players.
I usually am all about the bass player, Nikki Sixx, obviously, but honest, I don't care. I mean, it'd be cool to see the original lineup, but I honestly, it's like neither here nor there for the bass player with me.
Well, so I'm just kind of wondering because it's so easy now to plant a story on, you know, on the internet. And especially you got guys like me and Eddie Trunk and different Ultimate Classic Rock and Loudwire and everything like that. We're just like love to talk about this stuff. So that's my conspiratorial mind. Now
you should just do it.
Now I want to bring up something else because Greta Van Fleet played Saturday Night Live a few days ago.
And I was at Storm Dragon.
And you were at Storm Dragon. So what I'm going to do real quick is until I get an ASCAP license, I said ass, an ASCAP license, I can't play, I don't think I can play Greta Van Fleet from Saturday Night Live without getting the video blocked. So
smacked.
I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to show a little bit of the video footage. Can I share my screen? Let's go with this. Nope. Where's my screen?
What is going on with the clothes?
Yeah, I know. Hold on. Let me find the screen share here.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
That is like...
There we are. Here we are. Yep. Okay, this is it. Take a look at this, guys. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I just have to drag it over here.
That is like Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That is something else right there.
Yeah. So, what is that? I don't know if you guys can see it or not. Yeah. I don't know what Josh is wearing.
That's fancy.
What's on his feet?
I don't really know.
That's just crazy.
The way they're dressed reminds me of a band from Lancaster called Medusa's Disco.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which is a great band, although I don't agree with the way they dress.
okay, anyways. That is Greta Van Fleet on Saturday Night Live.
They're now, extra, so the kids say.
Yeah, so wait a minute. So what I want to bring up is I want to talk about Cubs. First of all...
No, he's little.
I don't know what Josh... I don't know if you just like got out of bed and that's what you had on while you're sleeping. I don't know. But there's been a lot of controversy about this because a lot of people said they sounded bad. They don't sound bad. Josh's voice is, it's I think he's got one of the voices that's kind of an acquired taste. What I think he sounds like here, I don't that's even think he's really off key, really even all that much, which is pretty good for Saturday Night Live. He sounds to me like Geddy Lee trying to imitate Robert Plant.
Interesting.
That's what it sounds like to me. I don't think he's trying to go for that. I think that's just how he sings. God, that outfit.
I can't stop staring.
It's distracting. I am not the Greta Van Fleet hater. I actually like the band. They aren't ripping off Led Zeppelin. They are not ripping off. They sound a lot like Led Zeppelin.
They're imitating a style.
Okay. It's a nice way to say it.
Because I don't think they're trying to be.
Well, I mean, because if you can rip off. Okay, this is like the pot calling the kettle black because Led Zeppelin has been accused of all kind of ripping off.
Yeah.
Being dragged into court, not just over the Stairway to Heaven thing, guys, but like over a lot of other stuff
for
years.
A lot of songs.
And they always kind of brushed it off. Well, you know, I don't know. Our publishing company didn't clear this or whatever, you know. No. Come on. Let's get real. So I kind of view Greta Van Fleet as Led Zeppelin's comeuppance. You know what I mean?
I don't
All
see...
these years later, you know what I mean? So people say, wait a minute, you rip people. You can't be,
Everybody
you know...
rips everybody off, quote unquote, in some sort of way.
Well, I mean,
in music.
But ripping off kind of implies that they're doing some kind of damage to the Van,
right.
to the Van Halen, to the Led Zeppelin brand or something. And they're not. Actually, what I think with all this talk is doing is getting people that might not even know what Led Zeppelin is, young people, to maybe go back and go, what's Led Zeppelin?
I'm
and
okay
go
with
and check it out. So this is probably doing nothing but helping Led Zeppelin, first of all. So if you're worried, if you're so worried that Led Zeppelin's being injured by Greta Van Fleet, take heart, they're not.
I mean, I don't see why it's a problem if they're imitating the style of Zeppelin, because aren't people crying that we don't have that sort of music anymore anyway? Like, now this is sort of a thing that we have back, and why are we bitching about it?
Right, right. and they do sound like, you know, they love Led Zeppelin. Fine.
Nothing wrong with that.
The song that they did was Black Smoke Rising. If you want to tell me that this is a ripoff of a Led Zeppelin song, I want to know which one it is. I'm pretty familiar with the Led Zeppelin catalog, like, very familiar with it. Like, one of my, like, big influences, one of my favorite bands of all times. I don't know which Led Zeppelin song that is, but maybe you can tell me. A couple other interesting things I want to point out about this Saturday Night Live and then being rebroadcast or shared on YouTube. Look at the numbers, the thumbs up and a thumbs down. It's almost
equal.
Split in
yeah,
half. Yeah.
Equal.
4K thumbs up, 3.3K thumbs down, like split down. That's 519,000 views, 500,000 views. That is really, you know, that's kind of telling. You know, it's really kind of split down the middle. Now, what I want to share with you guys is the freaking comments. I'm not going to say people's names. I'm just going to kind of read a couple of comments. So the first comment at the top is, I thought this was an SNL skit until the halfway point.
Wow.
You got to give them credit, though. For a bunch of 60-year-olds who haven't had a radio hit since the 80s, they did a pretty good job. At least they're back together again. The singer looks like Shrek when he became a human.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, that's a legitimate thing. Finally, SNL made me laugh. Why does
We're not just ripping on the band, we're ripping on Saturday Night Live. Come on.
Why does the singer look like that one middle-aged aunt who thinks they're cool because they do yoga and have Facebook?
Hey, I'm going to become that one. Stop that.
Oh, my goodness. They look like actors playing Led Zeppelin on a Lifetime movie. So I'm telling you, these comments are freaking hilarious. Who dressed him? Please fire your damn self.
I think he dressed himself.
I mean, Josh, seriously, brother. Seriously.
We got to rethink
seriously?
That outfit.
Seriously. You gotta do something about it like that. Like, the rest of the band looks kind of cool. But, dude, like, you know. Anyways, what I think would be great is if you guys came out and did, like, your thing with the Led Zeppelin influence, but dressed like 80s hair metal.
I'm okay with that.
Do the whole, what are they called, Steel Dragon? That's what they're called?
Are you talking about
the
movie?
No. The band. Come on, help me out here. They're kind of
Steel
like
Panther.
Steel Panther, yeah. Okay, let me see here. Wow, the drummer is using Ludwig drums with a large bass drum and two floor toms. I wonder what legendary drummer did the same.
Oh, for goodness sake. Why don't you just come out and say it? Stop that.
Oh, God. Somebody here has a kind of like, this guy must be sort of a fan. He's like, bit of an off night for the band, I must admit.
It's live. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, well, there's a history of bands,
Saturday
really good
Night
bands
live.
That sound like shit on Saturday Night Live. Now, here's what I want to say to all those people and all that stuff. Well, first of all, I would imagine that most of these people commenting here are at least 40 years old and over. I would imagine most of the people that gave it a thumbs down are probably 40 years old and over. You guys...
Do people over 40 know how to use YouTube?
Yes. You guys are hearing it with old ears. To people in their late teens and early 20s, this sounds very fresh and very exciting and very different, and they're really into it. And don't we... They've been always complaining about, music, you know, it's just made on a computer.
And kids listen to his hip hop.
See, you got
technology.
Young people standing up there playing guitars. And
they you sound can, good for the most part.
And if you want to say, well, Josh sounds a little out of tune in places, well, guess what? I guess there's no auto tune, and I guess he's like actually singing and not lip syncing. Hello.
Hot damn.
So, yeah, I mean, come on. Okay, I know there was just a article out where Josh is like, I'm tired of the Led Zeppelin comparisons, but Josh, seriously, you sound like a lot like Robert Plant, so, and your band plays music that sounds a lot like Led Zeppelin, so you're going to get those comparisons.
It's kind of a compliment.
You know what I mean? So do something, if you want to sound different on your next record, take it in a little bit of a different direction, but I wouldn't say change it up too much, because they are very famous very, very quickly, so I would say don't fix what ain't broke.
Exactly. I think it's fine.
Oh, here's a comment. Now, I didn't even see this comment I said before, but somebody actually said they sound more like Rush than Led Zeppelin to me.
So, which is what you just sort of
I thought I was all stupid and everything, but apparently I'm not as retarded as I thought. What the hell are they wearing? Yeah, the clothes, man.
Clothes are bad. Stop with the outfits. Get a stylist, because that just was bad. Stop.
What? Is this a skit? Yikes. Terrifying. So... here's somebody. Oh, come on. This wasn't that bad. They're just kids, keep in mind. Do they sound a lot like Zeppelin? Sure. But the band is still young. They'll find their sound. And that is
That's basically legit.
And there's also a great commentary from Eddie Trunk this week about this. Go check it out. He basically says what Lily and I just said about it. I just say get off the kids' back, because if like every time young people get up and with guitars and you're going to say, oh, they sound just like Deep Purple, they sound just like Creedence, and they're ripping this person off,
you're going
to discourage kids from playing rock. I taught guitar lessons for years. When my students wrote a song, whatever, I did everything to encourage them to like go out there and make music, because you guys got to carry it on. We can't do it forever. Rock needs young guys like Greta Van Fleet. So, they're not perfect, and there's some problems with it, of course.
Again, they're kids.
Yeah, they're kids. Give them a chance, man. Come on. So, anyways, I just wanted to talk about those two things. We're going to play another band, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get into this bad band breakup. So we're going to talk about comments from the lovely audience out there. In the meantime, this is Toxic Zombie, Stranger Things on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Station.
Let's crank it up to 11.
That is Pretty? Toxic Zombie. And you go to ToxicZombie.com. Check them out. And I don't know why this keeps doing this. Stop playing the next song. We are not supposed to play the next song.
It's being super ambitious.
The Spire just can't wait to play. You know, I love you guys. You're going to have to hang out. We're going to play you guys in a little bit, I promise. So these bands and their breakups really... I mean, it's sometimes out there in rock and roll land. It's like a freaking soap opera, isn't it?
It's so much fun, though. It's reading some of these stories, because I didn't know, like, the second stories or the full story, and I'm like, wow.
Okay, so we want to start with, because this is like trying to catch fish in a freaking bucket, you know? It's like, you know, come on, you know?
I'm going to start with the Sex Pistols. That's who I'm going to start with.
Really, Lily?
Yes.
Come on.
Stop it.
Just teasing.
Managed by Malcolm McLaren, one of the epitomes of punk. If you do not know who the Sex Pistols are, please look them up. They're one of the top punk bands that started the whole era. Fronted by Johnny Rotten, and he began complaining about how reckless Sid Vicious was. He was their bassist at the time. When he complained about it, McLaren decided to kick Rotten out and put Sid Vicious as the front man. Obviously, that's a smart move because he's not reckless at all.
Not at all.
He wasn't involved in murders or anything, right? So they broke the news to Rotten by abandoning him in L.A. with no money and no plane ticket back to England. Which I thought, I didn't know that part of it. They just left him there. Bye. See ya. And after that, the band didn't survive very long. Don't know why. Such a stable frontman as Sid. Good guy.
Well, you want to tell can you tell the story real quick?
The story.
Sid and Nancy.
I'm going to botch it a little bit because I don't know the exact story.
Well, we can give the
Well, Sid and
general.
Nancy were a couple. Sid Vicious from Sex Pistols and Nancy were a couple. Very reckless couple. They beat the shit out of each other constantly. And eventually, Sid murdered Nancy, basically. Was it a hotel? I think it was a hotel. The hotel heard, you know, screaming and everything. And then Sid killed himself.
Well, there's a movie called Sid and Nancy.
I think it's on Netflix right now.
And the way it's portrayed in the movie is that there was a knife involved, but it wasn't like, it was more like a, what they would call like a manslaughter kind of situation, like a reckless death, you know, like, because, you know, they were really messed up on drugs and whatnot. And they did something. She like kind of like leaned into the knife and stabbed her. I mean, I'm just saying that's how it's portrayed.
She probably ran into it so he would get in trouble.
Yeah. I'll fix your ass.
Nah, well, she was so high. I mean, come on.
Oh, goodness. So,
I didn't know that they left Johnny Rotten behind. But that's how they told him he was out of the band, basically. And then, of course, the band didn't last after that.
Well, that's like this is the kind of opposite this story. Now, this isn't a band breakup, but this is a guy leaving a band. Is Jeff Beck, he's known to be very, like, he's like me. He gets easily bored. And they were touring across the U.S. with the Yardbirds. But when I got to L.A., like, the L.A. scene was just too tempting for Jeff. And there was just too much partying and too much fun going on. And he just wandered off. And just
I didn't know that.
Never showed up again.
I did not know that.
And I believe that's when, somebody out there in classic rock land can correct me. I believe that is when Eric and Jimmy Page got involved to kind of figure out what the heck
to do next.
I believe that's when Jimmy Page got involved, was to figure out, because, you know, because I think Jimmy Page originally joined the Yardbirds as a bass player,
really?
If I'm not mistaken, but ended up becoming a guitar player. As a result of Jeff Beck just sort of saying, yeah, I don't know, I'm not going to play the gig today. I'll see you.
but anyway, I'm done.
Well, it's like Bob Welch from Fleetwood Mac did the same thing. Just
know we're done.
Yeah, we're done. I'm, you know,
bye.
You know, because the guitar player, really famous, Peter Green, you know, he flipped out. They gave him bad drugs and he flipped out. And so they got Bob Welch in there. And Bob Welch just, from what I understand, it ran off with like Children of God or one of those cults, one of those things, and said, you know, I'm done with music. And they were like, we're on tour.
I mean, we got to do this.
Yeah. So anyway, so go ahead. So I'm just going to interject. I'm going to let you carry this, but I'll just interject as we go. So what else you got, girl?
Well, while we're talking about punk, I'm going to talk about The Clash next. This is a little different. They did have creative differences, and there was some drug abuse involved in the band.
Wait a minute. You cannot have... There's no such thing as drug abuse in rock. That does not happen, Lily. Now, I'm going to demand...
This is punk.
I call this fake news.
You call it what you want to, buddy. Stop that. Well, anyway, the band... It was a band for 10 years, decided that being famous, and they were one of the most famous punk bands in the world, was not punk. So they just said, we're done.
We have to stop. We're famous.
They had just signed with a major label. They were touring. They had great...
They got a big radio hit on the radio with Rock the Casbah. And Should I Stay or Should I Go? And I think there was another.
Hit after hit after hit.
Yeah, they did get on the radio.
And like some bands do, they're like, we don't want to be famous. It's not cool.
Well, I think also with The Clash is you had two really good like songwriter visionaries in the band,
and they did want to do solo.
Yeah, and that can really fuel a band in the beginning, but then
that can tear a band apart.
Yeah, they can also ultimately tear a band apart when you have that. So
they just are like, it's not cool to be this famous, so we're just going to go do our own thing. I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
Because you're not punk. Punks, if you were punk, that's right away.
I don't care, you're making fucking money.
They don't care. Well, no, punk is about anarchy. That's why the song Anarchy in the UK is like... You know, no money, no, you know, it should be total, like, you know, they look at money as the problem.
That's the
man.
And
there is a certain amount of truth to what you're saying. So just, anyways, so what else you got, girl?
Well, we're going to go to Blondie next, since it's next on my list. Formed by Debbie Harry and Chris Stein. So there's two stories to this, two reasons. So they say that they broke up. One reason is Stein and the rest of the band decided Debbie Harry was too hot and hogging up all the limelight. True, she's hot, and technically everybody started calling her Blondie. That was her thing. And
I did, but I was really young. When Blondie broke, like in the late 70s, I was like 11.
So you were like,
10,
oh.
I didn't know anything about music. I just was like... would see pictures and hear songs, and I was like, I had no idea. So I thought, when somebody said Blondie, I thought that was Blondie.
Yeah, well, everybody thought that. Even, like, kids today who listen to that sort
of thing
like, would think that
by the
Blondie.
Way, which one's Pink?
Right.
Yeah. And people thought, you know, hey, which one of you guys is Leonard Skinner?
Which one is Aerosmith? I've heard that before. I hear Aerosmith, that cool guy. Stop that. First of all, go sit down. And be quiet and don't ever speak again. Anyway, so one of the things I read...
This is not a democracy. This is Lilyland.
It's fun here. We have cookies. Join me. Anyway, so that one of the reasons they say they broke up was because they didn't like Debbie Harry taking the entire spotlight because she was the hot female blonde. The other one is their accountant had not paid their taxes... Even though they were making all these great hits and making money and touring, their finances were in the shitter. And they couldn't basically really afford even to be a band anymore. And Stein, also, there's another reason. Stein later came down with a skin disease.
She helped him for a long time. That's why she dropped out of music for a long time, too. She wasn't really even doing anything. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then what? I think the story as I understood it was she helped him recover. Once he recovered, they broke up.
Yeah, the tension with the band it came to a head. They had to stop, and so they're just like, yeah, this is too much now. I mean, do they still even perform at all? Anything? Nothing? I don't even know.
Well, they put out a record. I want to say 5-8 years ago.
I would like
and
to
it was
have
a
seen
it was
that.
A, it was a, the song was a woman's name. I can't remember the name of it. And I remember Katie and I listening to it going like, this is pretty freaking good. It was a good rock, very catchy type, great comeback type song. And they did a music video to it. She looked fine to me.
She's kick-ass.
As they would say as you know, as people, as those, you know, as people with a penis might say, I wouldn't kick her out of bed. I'm not saying I would say that, but a lot of people who have penises might say that.
She has such style too, Greta Von Fleet. You might want to like look up some videos of Blondie.
Yeah,
and maybe
I mean, if you're
gonna
do the cross dressing thing, this David Bowie, like there's a lot of
this might be the
boy
way to
George.
Go. I mean, he had style. He had style. I don't care.
So, yeah. So what else you got?
So the next one I want to talk about is Cream. Band didn't last very long, 2 years. Jack Bruce was a huge showboater. He loved himself. He loved the way he played everything. And this is...
Overplayed.
This is according to guys who know music that way, and yeah. Clapton and Baker both agreed with that. And they also proved it was out of control at a concert when they stopped playing to see if Jack would notice. They stopped playing for 2 choruses. Jack didn't notice. He was making so much noise. And they knew at that point that the band was basically over. It was sort of civil, though. They got together to do another album, correct? Or was that a song?
They did a tour.
A tour, okay.
Late, many years later. Or not a tour, a concert. I'm sorry. They did an Albert Hall thing.
Yes, that's right.
And there's a concert video to it. You can get it. A lot of famous people are in the audience.
At least they were civil enough to just break it off. And, yeah. And obviously... they're all great musicians, and we're fine.
Eric Clapton, I think after Jimi Hendrix died, I think that Eric kind of felt like that Jimi really did the power trio with the big guitars and all that better than he did. This is my sort of feeling about it. And Eric suddenly became very interested in this more like Americana type sound. He heard music from Big Pink. And that, like, completely changed his style. So if you listen to Eric's music post-Cream through the 70s, with the whole Bonnie Bramlett thing, you know, Layla and all that, it's got way more of that. It's less of, like, the kind of big guitar thing. It's a little bit of that here and there, like on Layla and a couple things, but... he's way more into... he freaking covered Don Williams' Tulsa Time. He had a hit with that. So I just think that Eric kind of... he felt like musically he wanted to progress away from that. But I personally always thought that the real reason was he saw Jimi Hendrix and then later on the band of Gypsies and was like, this guy kicks my ass. And a lot of guitar... everybody did. I mean, even Jeff Beck... they all were like, what the... you know the story, right? How Jimi Hendrix...
You told me once.
He came on...
I don't remember.
His manager, who was in, I believe in the Animals, like Chaz... oh, man, I can't remember. Somebody chime in and help me out. brought Hendrix to England, and Cream was playing at a club. And he says, hey, I'm managing this guy, Jimi Hendrix from America. Can he sit in? And Eric was like, what? We're Cream. You're not going to sit in. This is our show. And he's like, no, please, please, come on. Do it as a personal favor to me. I promise the guy can really play. And so he picked up, he came in and he started, and Eric was like jaw on floor. Like, oh my God. Like,
whoa,
what the hell is this crap? You know? So I digress a little bit. I'm just kind of throwing out my useless knowledge of classic rock.
Well, that was one of my examples of ego taking over the band and ultimately breaking them up.
What I heard that one of the things that breaks up bands a lot is too much hanky panky among the members.
Yeah, that would... I don't have this on my list, but the Mamas and the Papas are quite... we're into that apparently.
ABBA as well.
Fleetwood, was it Fleetwood Mac too? Were they doing
well,
all that? Or is
they
that...
really tried to stick it out despite all of that, and they ended up making a very cool album, Rumors.
Yeah.
And they actually...
that kind of worked for them.
And
then,
even post that, they're sporadically...
they
did some very cool songs that I think were kind of born out of that angst. I think some of Stevie Nicks' solo music, and I think some of
Stevie Nicks' solo music was
Lindsey
sure.
Buckingham's solo music are both... I think that they're still singing to each other. That's just kind of the way I see it. But yeah, that gets bands in a lot of trouble. I think that we need to take a little minute here and give a shout out to somebody. Lily, why don't you go ahead and...
I know he's watching tonight because I saw him. Todd Kane, big shout out to you. for watching. Thank you so much for watching the show, listening to us.
We love you, Todd. We appreciate it.
Be goofy every week.
Yeah, Todd's a veteran, and thank you so much for your service. We do appreciate that. We know that you guys have to deal with a lot of way worse crap than band breakups.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate that you're... Todd's a really big music fan. If you look at his Facebook page, it's all about music. He's really into music, hard rock and metal. So thank you very much, Todd.
Yes, very much.
So do members of bands... I mean, like, music is... I mean, rock music, we were making the joke earlier about rock bands and substance abuse. Does that ever lead to bands breaking up or members being thrown out?
Yeah.
Do you have any examples, Miss Lily?
Wheel. So Guns N' Roses isn't technically a band that broke up, but I think since they've revamped the entire band sans, you know, or, you know, with Axl Rose, I'm calling it a breakup. I don't care what you people say. However, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name now. Adler was kicked out of the band for his drug use.
If you party too much to be in Guns N' Roses,
you're
really partying, dude. Like, holy, you're like a professional partier.
You know what's funny about that story, though, is the band actually tricked him into signing contracts to what he thought was every time he did drugs, he would give them $2,000 as a fine. And basically what happened was he signed papers saying, here's your $2,000, you're out of the band. That's what happens. They gave him $2,000. He signed away his rights and his royalties and any writing credits. He got $2,000, which messed up.
There's a great song by Ray Wiley Hubbard. You should listen to it. It's a very cool song. It's called Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game. And man, the song
that was low, though.
Is a great, I mean, that is totally, stories like that totally befitting. And maybe we should even do about like the 10 most brutal butt mm-mms that have happened in rock. Well, that might be a good
on top
podcast.
With Guns N' Roses on top of that, Axl actually forced the rest of the band to sign over the name rights, the name Guns N' Roses, before he would go on tour for Use Your Illusion. And they did it. And that's why he owns the name of the band and they don't. And he basically crybabied his way into getting what he wanted.
Do you have anything about Pink Floyd on your list?
I do not. I did not write about Pink Floyd.
Or do you have anything about Styx?
I do not.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Styx?
I think that I think one of the like most jacked up breakups ever, and even the rest of the band is scratching their heads at this, and this is the David Gilmour Roger Waters feud that today is still raging. It's mind-boggling that after all these years, these two guys who were really good friends cannot work it out. They can't. They just refuse. I listened to a great program. Oh, this is a long time. Excuse me, I belched right in the microphone. About 15 years ago on NPR, where David Dye, if you don't know who David Dye is, he has a great show on NPR. He used to call it All Things. Excuse me. Not All Things Considered.
You're brain farting today.
Brain farting. Senior moment, man.
Oh, please.
Cafe. What's it called? Help me out.
I don't know.
It just went out of my head. But anyways, David Dye had brought them on, and this was the first time they had ever been like talked to each other ever, like in years and years and years. And it was very civil. They're both British. You know, they
didn't, gentlemen.
Yeah, they were both like British gentlemen, and it didn't like you know turn into like a you know FU or anything like that. But that was it, like nothing. And I think that they were really hoping that World Cafe.
You got it.
Yes,
it there it is.
it's all coming back to me now. Meatloaf should sing a song. No, anyways, God. So and to this, all these years, these two guys cannot. I mean, and I just think there was a lot of money. Roger Waters sued David Gilmour to get the name Pink Floyd and lost. Roger would like play like a fire hall in Cincinnati the same night that David's Pink Floyd would be at like the Goo Goo Dome, like in Cleveland, you know, with the, you know, $8 million light show. And I just think it's just you know, you would think like as you get older and you're thinking about like, I don't know if I've got as many years in front of me as I have behind me. You might want to make peace with people. But these two guys, man, they just won't do it.
I wouldn't. I'm not going to lie, but I'm a female.
The last album that the two of them played together on was The Final Cut. While the playing on that album is absolutely great, I wasn't. It was a follow up to The Wall, and it was, in my opinion, a big like it just didn't have it did not have the songs, and I just think that was because these two guys just hated each other's guts so bad. But could you imagine? You know, they got back together and they toured. They got back. They did reunite, but it was very like as Keith would do. I'm doing the Keith move with the hand. You know, like. They were totally not like, you know, it was just for the money. No. And you want to talk about, we mentioned Van Halen. Do you want to talk about the Van Halen thing?
I don't actually have anything written down. I just know, so you have a band that has, it's really centered around the main guitarist, obviously, Eddie Van Halen. So you think you
really?
Can
really? I never heard of that guy.
Be quiet. You can just go ahead and switch out other band members here and there, but probably shouldn't do it all the time. And David Lee Roth was great. He had great energy, and his sound was great, and bye to him. I don't even know why he's gone. I don't even know that story.
Well,
why he was gone.
He wanted the band. What Eddie said at the time was that David Lee Roth wanted to go to Hollywood and be like a big kind of like actor, and he wanted them to come with him and kind of like be his backup band. Okay. I don't know if that's completely true. That's
the story.
That's Eddie's story.
Okay. And then you get Sammy Hagar. Fantastic. Obviously. Also, I love... I actually might love Sammy better. I don't know. We're not going to tell too many people that, obviously.
I'll say it. Sammy Hagar can sing circles around... You know, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but Sammy Hagar can sing circles around...
I thought it was awesome,
David
too.
Lee Roth. Absolutely.
He had some great ballads in there.
But here's the thing I want to bring up about the Van Halen thing and the breakup situation. Because... they were so into Sammy, and Sammy and Eddie immediately like struck. Van Halen had done the big rock thing, okay? Sammy has more pop sensibilities in his songwriting. He just does. That's just how he writes songs. It's not a, whether you like it or you don't have to like it. That's just what the. So him and Sammy, like, and I think that Eddie was like, yeah, let's take it someplace else. Like, you know, we did Van Halen 1, Van Halen 2, Women and Children First, Diver Down, blah, 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 blah. We did all these records,
all
okay? You know what I mean? You know, so they get together with Sammy, and all of a sudden, their sound evolves. If you are a musician, you understand this. You can't do the same freaking thing on every record. You go crazy. And if you listen to the great bands, the bands that are classics, they all kind of evolve their sound. Even if they keep a central sort of idea, like Pink Floyd has a sort of central kind of thing, but their sound kind of evolves as they go. It grows and expands, etc. They bring in new things. Some bands were real radical with sound changes they made, like the Police did, like a lot of different stuff. U2 is, oh my God, U2 has changed it up many, many times. Led Zeppelin even, you know, Led Zeppelin 3 is kind of an acoustic album. So, yeah. So I think that Eddie wanted to evolve, and I think Sammy was the guy. He's a great singer, great frontman, famous in his own right, was not going to hurt the Van Halen brand, really, because, you know, it wasn't like they were bringing in somebody that nobody had, no people had to acclimate to. Everybody already loved Sammy Hagar. He had big hits as a solo artist, and he was the singer in Montrose for many, many years. But something weird happened, and supposedly it was arguments over their involvement on some movie soundtracks and a greatest hit album. Yes.
That's
and
great.
Then they got so, and then he was supposedly there was a reunion with Roth, kind of like they did behind his back, and that would have pissed me off too. And then after the whole thing with Gary Cherone, they did bring Hagar back for 2004, and the whole thing blew the F up. And even Michael Anthony left at that point. Something happened. And, you know, Eddie Trunk has alluded to it on his shows. He won't say, but something very effed up happened in that group of people. I don't know if somebody banged somebody's wife or somebody did something they weren't supposed to be doing, but they are just like, it's completely Splitsville. And for a long time, Sammy would say things like, man, I can't believe I'm never going to play with that band again. I'm sure we're going to get back together. Like, you know, everybody will calm down eventually. He's not even saying that now. Like, he doesn't even want to talk about Van Halen. He has nothing, like, good to say about it.
This band is just a mixed-up barrel of fun, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, you want to talk about a cluster, you know what?
Oh, my goodness. You're just not even swearing at all tonight.
It's a cluster of bad things. So.
Wow.
And it's like, this is what I was trying to get to a little bit earlier, was like, sometimes the reasons for these breakups are kind of cagey, like,
and you don't know all
you don't we don't really know everything that happened. I mean,
we know what they tell us.
They make an announcement because they've got to say something to the fans, and they say what they say. Keith Hawkins chimed in and told me that the reason the Beatles broke up is because of Yoko Ono. And
there's
that's the
more
end of that.
To it.
Do you
want
to talk about that?
Yes, I
the
have.
The Beatles?
We got to talk about the Beatles, because that's one of the more famous breakups ever. And you can blame Yoko a little bit, but I'd say she was probably like the straw that broke the camel's back on that. But they all went to this like little trip to India and everything, and, you know, to get centered. They were already in danger of splitting. He already announced in 69 that he was going to leave the band. After this meditation retreat, they kind of discovered that John didn't like Paul's little poppy versions of all the songs, and Paul didn't like John's experimentation with the songs. It was creative differences. And George Harrison was becoming a stronger songwriter as it progressed, and actually he was my favorite Beatle. And then Yoko, of course, comes in, and I'm calling her a homewrecker, because she is. Because he was married.
And this is the lady in the
just
group
deal
talking
with it.
About it. Yes.
Yeah, John's a homewrecker too, but everybody knew, and it sucks. Anyway, she was allowed at band rehearsals, which was a no-no.
Giant no-no.
Yeah. I mean, I think that should just go with every band. John was allowing her input in on the band's recordings. And this was just causing friction all around, you know. And basically she's saying, oh, like, baby, you're a genius. We can go solo. And they recorded stuff together, which is, I'm sorry. Stuff I never never want to listen to again after I heard it the first time. But it was a clashing of personas mixed with Yoko's influence on John.
I think there's also something going on here that's similar to what happened with the Clash. Is you've got two guys in the band that are visionaries, and they really want to do their thing. Mm-hmm. They really, you know, and egos come in because the band is huge now.
Yeah.
And there is people saying, well, who's your favorite Beatle? Paul's my favorite. No, John's my favorite Beatle. This and that. It's funny, like, who's your favorite Beatle became a thing. You know?
I know.
Like,
it's still a thing. George is my favorite.
It's
love
a whole
George.
Thing. I think George, if the Beatle, I mean, he passed away, God rest his soul, but if he was alive and John Lennon was still alive and they said, we're going to get back together, I think George is so freaking laid back that I think I'd been like, yeah,
he'd
sure.
have been like, yeah.
Call me. I'll play with you guys. I don't care. And Ringo was, I think Ringo would have played. He just.
I mean, they don't
Ringo
even.
Loves playing. I think Ringo's still
even
touring.
Mention Ringo in the stories. At all. Ringo is never mentioned in why the band broke up at all. When I read the whole thing, it was John, Paul, George, and Yoko. And that's it.
The bringing your wife / girlfriend or whatever to the rehearsal.
Unless
and let
she's
her
in the actual band, it should not be a thing.
Yeah.
Any guy that I have dated that was in a band, that was a rule. You do not bring your girlfriend / wives to the rehearsals.
No. Or if you do, they go upstairs with the
and
other girlfriend.
And they go
alive.
And have coffee
and
or drink
out.
Beer or
yeah,
do whatever
they go hang
do.
Out. You guys got to do your work.
That is a distraction.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't matter if it's boyfriends. So if you're a female and you're in a band, you don't bring husbands and boyfriends in either.
Stay at home.
They've got to go do their own thing. You've got to, you know, you have your vision.
You've got to focus. It's work. It's a job.
But I think that sometimes what happens with artists is, especially people with a combination of a massive amount of talent like John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and a massive, not just talent, but skill. I mean, these guys have been honing. They've been writing songs for a really long time. They know what to do. They struck a chord with the world. They knew what they were doing. Okay, so imagine you are in a band that revolutionized not only music, but the culture, changed how people think about the world, revolutionized sex, everything. Though you're going to be a little tempted to get an ego. If you didn't, you wouldn't be normal if you didn't get a bit of an ego over that. I mean, come on, Lily, right? You know?
I mean,
that's just, so I think you mix that with the sort of natural drive to want to kind of control your own music, and this is what ends up happening.
This is what happens. One of the biggest bands in the world.
And I think that as much as I love John's music and Paul's music solo, I personally, for my money, they were better as a team.
Yeah.
The fact that they kind of reined each other in a little bit, and there was that sort of push back and forth on, you know, which direction the song was going to go in, I think really added to what ultimately what they created. It's my opinion. I could be wrong.
You could be.
I could be. Any other band breakups you want to talk about before we play Despire?
We want to talk about my favorite. This is the last one.
This is your last one and your favorite. Let's hit it.
Okay, this is my favorite one because the story is so ridiculous it makes me insane. So I'm talking about Oasis. Okay, it's not a band I'm really a fan of. My sister is. A lot of people are. I guess it's a 90s thing. But okay, these are brothers, actual blood brothers, who hate each other. So 2009, Noel stated that he canceled a gig at V-Fest, and it was due to Liam having a hangover, which was a complete lie. Liam was actually sick. This is adults. Adult males. I don't know why I'm surprised. He had laryngitis, though, and Liam sued Noel for lying and demanded an apology. Noel later apologized and said the suit was dropped. And then they got into a fight backstage at another show. Liam threw a plum, I guess. I don't know what that's all about. And wielded Noel's guitar like an axe. Brothers. Males. Adults. The tour's canceled along with another festival. And then there was a thing stating the band does no longer exist. Who said this? Noel said it's with some sadness and grief, or great relief, that I quit Oasis tonight. I simply cannot go on working with Liam a day longer. In 2010, they actually won an award for Best Brit Album of the last 30 years at the 2010 Brit Awards.
What album?
It did not say, so I don't know. Liam collected the award alone. He thanked every other member of the band but his brother and proceeded to throw the microphone and the award into the crowd. I'm sorry, mommy should have been on tour with both of them. Liam in this corner, Noel in this corner, you guys are going to perform and make money. Shut the hell up. You guys are adult males. Stop it. If you can't, obviously this has stemmed their whole life. They can't have possibly just started this when they started a band. If you can't get along, then don't work together.
Well, brothers and bands have had problems.
I know.
There's stories of the Davies brothers getting into fist fights on stage.
I know. The Everly brothers.
Yeah. So
I know. I get it. Maybe if they should work together. My sister and I fight all the time.
The Wilson brothers from the Beach Boys.
Wanted to kill each other. It's so ridiculous to me that you're going to act this. You're going to sue your own brother because he lied and said you had a hangover. Oh my God. Do you know how many times I'd be in trouble if my sister and I were in a band and she said I was having a hangover and that's why I'm not at the show? I'd be fired a long time ago.
Never been in any show.
Wow. I had to say to that. It was my favorite one to read. It was my absolute favorite one to read.
That's a really great story. I want to mention a couple of things that I think are kind of interesting. A couple of band breakups I think are kind of interesting. I think we would be remiss if we didn't bring up the biggest one. Is Led Zeppelin. If there ever was a justification for a band saying, look, we're done. We can't do this. And I think that is Led Zeppelin.
I absolutely agree with that breakup.
That band, if you ever had to, I mean, yes, there was some unsavory aspects, Mudshark, about the band that, you know, and, you know, they lived in that era of 70s excess, what have you. But when your dear friend, I mean, John Bonham and Robert Plant were very, very tight. They were very, very close. They were very, very good friends. And Robert was just like, I just do not want to perform without, it just felt terrible to him to do.
I think that's totally legit. I think that was a great reason to actually call it quits with the band. I don't think they should have continued with that.
Yeah, and I think that I think that Robert Plant both Jimmy Page and Robert Plant have done the Led Zeppelin legacy justice by how they handled the whole thing. With the different things they've done with their solo careers, to the way that Robert Plant now reinterprets the Led Zeppelin music in his, you know, the different bands that he's had. Very, very cool stuff. He, you know, brings a kind of earthy Americana kind of spin to it. I mean, he's even covered Black Dog with Alison Krauss. Mm. And it sounds good. It's just testament to, like, how amazing those songs were that, you know, I used to make a joke that, like, if a song is a good song, you should be able to play it on a swinette or a kazoo, and it should
still sound
awesome.
Yeah,
and the Led Zeppelin music is that freaking strong. And they were every right to not play ever again. I'm glad that they did what they did. I thought it was the little get-togethers that they had here and there. I thought were totally. I got somebody trying to break in the house right now.
It's probably a cat.
We're totally appropriate. They didn't, you know, go over the top with it or anything. So. I think what would be fun, though, especially now, I keep coming back to Greta Van Fleet, especially now that Greta Van Fleet is out there, and I never told you about, and I forgot to mention my conspiracy theory about Greta Van Fleet. I love conspiracies. I'm a conspiracy maniac. But I think what might be fun now that Greta Van Fleet is kind of, if Led Zeppelin, if they would get together with Jason Bonham and just maybe once a year go into studio and bang out some badass track. And just throw it out there. And don't do enough. Don't tour. Just kind of
just
sneak.
Do one thing.
Yeah, just kind of sneak it out on, you know, just put it out there.
Make it like a secret track.
Yeah. You know, just kind of
we don't do that anymore. We don't do CDs anymore.
Yeah. So just put it, you know, just kind of like, boom. Like, don't tell anybody you're doing this. Keep it hush hush. And all of a sudden, boom, like a Led Zeppelin song. So I think that it would blow everybody's mind.
That would be.
That they don't need to tour. I understand why they wouldn't want to tour and everything like that. But I think that would be kind of fun. But I think that's interesting. You were talking about crazy band breakups. A couple other ones I want to mention. I want to mention the Eagles and their relationship with Don Felder. Don Felder's founding was a member of the Eagles. Joe Walsh is not a member of the Eagles. Joe Walsh is, believe it or not, even though he's associated with the Eagles so much, he is a paid sideman.
Really?
You know this?
I didn't know
he
that.
He doesn't make any money from anything the Eagles do unless they call him up and say, we're going to go
out
and do a tour. That's it.
That's cool, though,
all the money he makes. That's
know.
The only way he makes any money with the Eagles. But Don Felder was a full-fledged member of the Eagles. And there was so much hate and animosity that they paid him a sum that is so high that the court has issued a non-disclosure on it. Nobody's allowed to say what he got paid, what they paid him to go away. They paid him to get rid of him because they could.
Oh, they didn't
not
trick him like they did Adler with
no.
$2,000.
Well, that but that point they were all over the. They were the. This was after the hell freeze is over and everything. You know what I mean? They were all older and everybody was sober and nobody was. But there's a famous story of them being on stage, and Glenn Frey looking over at Don Felder and saying, it's four songs till I'm kicking your ass. And Don Felder was like, bring it on.
Nice.
That's the kind of relationship. So it can get pretty hairy. You talked about the Oasis boys.
Was this just as bad?
Yeah. Oh, this was just as bad or worse. And we all know that Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey have gotten into fistfights on stage as well.
That baffles
me. It's just crazy, you know.
Did you hear? Well, I didn't put this one in here, but I read about it today. Did you hear about the Zombies? Two fake Zombies bands that weren't even the original Zombies, and they were out touring different times. And then they actually got caught because the fake band, the Archies, was in a comic book. with the zombies, and they were like all calling each other going, what the hell is going on? This guy was marketing two extra bands by the name The Zombies, and it was the same songs, but it wasn't the original band. That's crazy to me. I didn't put that one in there because it just seems so odd.
I do know a guy, and I will, who will remain nameless, who went out and did these, like, this was before a lot of bands showed up on TV. This was, like, in the 70s. So, like, you could, there was, like, what, American Bandstand, Midnight Special. There was a couple of, just a few places, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert.
I'm probably too young for this.
Just a few places where you could say. Well, anyways, him and another, some other musicians would get out and call themselves, like, I'll just give you an example. In the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, they went out and toured as The Ventures, but they weren't The Ventures. Since nobody knew what The Ventures looked like.
Yeah, that's the same thing with The Zombies.
That's just
like,
what
nobody
they did.
Knew what they looked like.
You know, it's just like crazy. You know, I mean, rock and roll's a vicious game, guys, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm glad
so,
I'm not in a band.
So, but I wanted to bring up, now this band is not uber famous. But they did have a couple of, they were a pretty big kind of in the alternative indie kind of scene in the 80s. They're a band called The Alarm. And they literally broke up on stage. Mike Peters, they were playing a big show, like a festival. And Mike Peters came out and they played the first song. And he's like, I just want to announce that this is my last show with The Alarm. This is how we told the rest of the band, like on stage for everybody. After this point, The Alarm is broken up.
Wow.
And they were like, they had to play the rest of the show going like, you know,
what's going on
here? Yeah. So, I'm telling you, man, rock is a crazy thing, man. If you're thinking about getting into a band, you might reconsider it.
You might want to think about it.
You might
really
want to rethink that decision
first.
Oh, God. So, anyway, so guys, you've been, so we're going to play another band. We're going to come back and wrap the whole thing up and see if there's any parting shots. We're going to take a look at any comments we have from you guys there in the live show. This is Despire Blue Sky on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circuit.
Sound of your voice.
Despire. I just think they kick butt. DESPYRE.com.
They're awesome.
Just a really good, good. You know that band. Where are they from? They're from this area?
New York.
They're from New York. So they're
New York City. East Coast. I went to see them to cover them for Rock Rage Radio, and I did not know what I was getting into because I'd never heard of them before. Mm. Oh my God, I fell in love with them like instantly.
Yeah, I really did.
Really nice guys.
There's really good guitar work on that as well. So
I have a Despire necklace somewhere.
So we opened the show with Strangelove. You can go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. You can get involved with our Inner Circle there, as well as get my album, The Bad Years, which has Lou Lombardi's Strangelove and Love and Ruins and some other stuff that I've been involved in. It's like kind of a retrospective kind of thing. There was some cool stuff. We had Toxic Zombie, which is a really fun band. You go to ToxicZombie.com. And then that we just played Despire. DESPYRE.com is a website. So check all those bands out. Please support the bands. If we played something you liked, like, just pop over to iTunes. Or go to the band's website and pick something up. Get a t-shirt, a hat, a...
anything.
One glove.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. That's 80s.
A maxi pad. Anything. You know,
Despire has really cool necklaces.
There you are.
That. They did. I don't know if they still have them.
Before we get out of here today, I want to mention a story that we talked a little bit about with our fans on Facebook this week. And that is the... I've been following this for a while. Thank you, Eddie Trunk. Eddie is... If you guys don't follow Eddie, you can just... Even if you don't have satellite radio, you can just find him on YouTube. And you can pick up all the show highlights and everything like that. It's very, very interesting. Well, he does a lot of cool interviews. But there is... I've been following this story through Eddie Trunk for a while. But Lee Kerslake... Now, if you're not familiar with that name, a lot of people aren't. Because a lot of people believe that Blizzard of Oz was performed by Randy Rhoads and Tommy Aldridge and Rudy Sarzo and Ozzy Osbourne. It was not. Ozzy and Randy, of course, but the bass player and the drummer on that were was Bob Daisley on bass and Lee Kerslake on drums. That was the band. The band was to be called Blizzard of Oz. The album comes out. And it's titled Ozzy Osbourne. The title of the album is called Blizzard of Oz. And everybody had a giant kind of like, "Wah, really? That's what you're gonna do?" And Ozzy's like, "Oh no, Sharon made me do it."
Oh, blame the woman,
Sharon,
Yoko.
Yeah, she's like Yoko too. Yoko, the next generation. Except she doesn't sing.
At least
God.
She didn't freaking try to record animal sounds.
Look, Sharon Osbourne is a marketing genius, and
she really
I don't know if we would even have the Ozzy Osbourne that we all know and love if it wasn't for her.
Probably not. She's very intelligent.
Very intelligent, very talented at what she does.
But she's also...
But in any case, Bob Daisley and Lee Kerslake have been owed money, and there's been lawsuits, and to get out of paying them, I don't know if you know this, but Sharon put together a project with a different bass player and a different drummer and had them go in and re-record Kerslake and Daisley's parts. And they released it as a sort of like updated version of Blizzard of Oz.
Wow.
It still has Randy Rhoads on it and Ozzy. And fans were not into it. It didn't go anywhere. And Ozzy, I think in his biography, said that like it was all Sharon's idea. It was not something he wanted to do anyways, but she manages the business, and so he goes along to get along. Plus he screws a lot of other women, and I think that like in order to kind of keep the peace, he lets Sharon... that's their kind of deal. That's the impression I get.
I mean,
but he does screw a lot of other women. She's talked about that. What's the show she's on? The Talk. I don't know if that's even still on TV.
Is it?
But she's talked about that on The Talk.
She's terrifying. I would never want to get into a fight with that woman.
Did you ever hear that the Howard Stern show where she got on and faced off against, I believe it was Insane Clown Posse?
No. I don't know about this.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
Oh, man, it was a total... You know, these guys were like, you know, nasty, kind of intimidating guys. But she just was not having it. She just went on. I mean,
she would
everything
face off
they threw at her,
on tour.
She threw it right back, man. I mean, like, and you got to be like that. That's why Led Zeppelin hired a former professional wrestler as their manager, because it's a vicious game. That's the theme of tonight's show. Rock and roll is a vicious game. But anyways, so let me get back to this story. So the Kerslake and Deasley were owed money, and they fought tons of battles in court. The Osbournes have a lot of money and can hire. And you, this is how it goes. If you've and we all saw this with the O.J. Simpson trial. The people with the better lawyers win. That's just how it goes. And so Kerslake is now an elderly gentleman. He's very ill. He's got bone cancer. He's got all kind of problems. They're giving him like maybe 8 months to live. He's very optimistic. There's new treatments. Apparently, bone cancer isn't necessarily a total death sentence like it used to be. There is treatment. I mean, we live in an amazing world. But in any case, there's a great interview with Lee on YouTube, if you guys can check it out. But in any case, maybe I'll put a link up to it as well. But finally, this past week, because all he was like, he's like, I'm dying. All I want is the all I want is the platinum albums. Just give me my platinum albums. I never received the platinum albums for Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman. Can you please send me those albums? And it was so finally he got them.
That's
and there's
super
a photo.
Sweet.
There's a great story about it. If you guys follow me on Facebook, you can see that. It's this very sad story. Not all rock and rollers burn out. Some of them just get sick and are they're regular people. They, you know, have regular problems. Lee is one of these people. So we wish Lee all the best, and I would love to see him recover. He's got an album coming out.
Oh, that's
it
gone.
Might come out
that's
posthumously,
good.
But it is coming out. So he's got an album coming out too. So we'll keep you guys up to date on that. But I just wanted to mention that because Keith and I have talked about this like privately many times. We would have talk conversations after the podcast. We would be listening to music and talking, and eventually, you know, we would all an Aussie song would come on, and the story would come up. So
we brought it up about a month ago.
Yeah, we bring it up before. Yeah. So anyway, so I just wanted to kind of throw that out to you guys that Lee has got his platinum album. So God bless you, brother, and we wish you all the best. Lily, any parting shots? You want to talk about it? Any comments? We have a lot of people chiming in tonight.
A lot of it was about the closed band practice from girlfriends, boyfriends showing up. Oasis got into fist fights a lot. Mommy's little boys, even though they're 60. Robinson's brothers of the Black Crowes haven't spoken to each other.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
yeah.
I didn't think of that. That's actually from Lance. That's about it on the comments. But we did have a lot of watchers tonight, so that was... I did miss some of the comments because they do disappear after a while. I apologize.
Yeah, we were just really going. It was a fun.
But we have Chris Thunderwolf, Tim Paul, Bands and Breakfast. Keith Hawkins is on, of course, watching here and there as he's not doing his thing. And Jonathan Sula. And I did see other people, but I'm sorry if I missed you because, again... Facebook doesn't like me to see things after
a while. Yeah, after a while, it goes by. So we're doing a live feed. So we do appreciate
anybody
it.
Who did watch. Thank you.
We're going to have to do in the future, Lily. Is we're going to have to just periodically just kind of maybe remind
I'm going to do screenshots of them, I think.
Yeah, do that. That's a great idea. And then like, well, we can even stop periodically and say, oh, you know, talk about comments or thank people for watching. Yeah. Sorry, we were kind of like diarrhea of the mouth tonight.
Hey,
you know,
that's
we were
our
really
job.
We were into it. Yeah, it was a fun topic. You know, it's always fun to watch people crash and burn.
It's kind of sick, but we like watching it.
So tonight was a little bit of tabloid journalism, if you will, with the Luntini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. All right, go ahead and plug your show, babe, and anything else you got coming up or any shows you're going to.
All right, so listen to my show Thursday nights, 6 to 8. PM Eastern on Thursdays. It's Hot Licks with Lily Six, Rock Rage Radio. Download the free app or go to the website rockrageradio.com. Super easy to find.
Super.
Shows, I'm hopefully going to see Dirty Confession on Friday. That's a maybe up in the air. As far as shows...
Where's that?
That is going to be at the Craft House. I say it's Brentwood. People argue with me. So, South Hills area. Also, I'm going to see The Thing from the 80s, the movie, at Lowe's Theater on the 30th. So I'm pretty excited about that.
What?
Yeah, they show old movies on Wednesday nights.
That is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I have it on Blu-ray. And for my birthday, like 5-6 years ago, a bunch of friends took me out for my birthday, and we went to a showing of it at the Oaks.
That's cool.
I'd never seen it in a movie theater, and I got to see it in a movie theater. Oh, I think it's a fan-freaking-tastic
movie. I've seen it. It's been a minute, but I can't wait to see that. Also, Quiet Riot with opener Storm Dragon and Dying Breed on the 1st, and that's at Jurgles. And I do want to give a shout-out to a very dear friend of mine, Bonnie Pizzarella. She's going through chemo right now, and we are doing a spaghetti dinner for her on the 3rd, and that's going to be at the Washington County Fairgrounds. All of the proceeds are going to go to help paying for her treatments. She actually lives right down the road from Lou and I, and she's an amazing person, and I can't wait to...
Howdy, neighbor.
So,
wish y'all the best.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing a spaghetti dinner thing on Sunday.
Excellent. Okay, Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. We are Sundays at noon, rockrageradio.com. You can download the Rock Rage Radio app. And we are very grateful to John and Gigi. I don't say that enough for having us here. This has been a great opportunity for us to, connect with a lot more people and have a lot more fun. So it's pretty exciting. We're very happy to be here. And so thank you guys for that. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is the website. So please check back often for we do all kind of cool podcasts. I mean, we're mixing it up a little bit this year. I'm doing some guitar videos and some different stuff like that. So check all that out at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on YouTube. We're all over the place. If you are a hard rock and, let's put it this way, I'm going to go this way, rock, hard rock, heavy metal, or rock and roll act, artist, get in touch with me, because I want to promote you. This is what we're all about here. One of the things that I'm doing as a musician that's a little bit different than a lot of my buddies is, I'm not just like putting my own stuff out there. I am here to bring everybody. Let's get together. Let's all party together, because there's a lot of great music out there. And I want to bring fans and bands and artists, everybody together. And let's just have a great time. Rock isn't dead. It's just, we have a different scene today. People pick and choose what they want to hear. They go to YouTube or Spotify and like make their own playlists and stuff. Nobody's just like turning on the radio and like, talking about it around the water cooler the next day. It's all, we're doing things a little bit different. So we need a place to hang out. We need a place to get together, to congregate. And that is one of the reasons why I started the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. So please hang out with us. Please give us comments. Don't be afraid to throw instant messages at us or emails. Please be cool. We have a young lady on the show with us. She doesn't want wiener pics and stuff like that.
No,
okay?
Seriously, because you know what? I'm just going to send one back. Quite honestly.
Hers is probably bigger than all y'all's.
Oh, it is.
So anyway, you can check everything out at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. We're going to pop over to our private group for a few minutes and do a little post-podcast convo and talk about maybe what we might want to talk about next week. Keith, if you're around, we're going to be over there, so jump in. You can just jump on Zoom. You know the thing, and we'll be over there doing that. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we're going to catch you guys all on the next Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.